I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. Casey Currents is KCUR's weekly magazine show. We use voices, stories, and sound to take you to neighborhoods around the region. 2 years ago, the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce led a community-wide brainstorming session to generate what they called big ideas for improving our metropolitan area. The chamber picked five of those big ideas, and one of them is to revitalize our urban neighborhoods. A new nonprofit was founded last year to lead this effort. The Urban Neighborhood Initiative will focus on the area between 22nd and 52nd Streets, from Truce to Highway 71. Of course, the UNI is building on the work of countless other past renewal projects, big and small, some effective, some not. One of the neighborhoods in the target area is Manheim Park. On a warm day last week, construction workers were tossing old beams out of the window of the old Bancroft Elementary School on Tracy and 43rd Street. A $14 million project funded in part by Brad Pitt's Make It Right Foundation is restoring the old building to energy-efficient standards. The school closed in the year 2000 and is being transformed into affordable housing. But that's not all, says Manheim neighborhood president Sandra Hayes.
The top part will be affordable living. The bottom part is going to be the public space. And then we're going to have some condos, I think, on the property. We're going to have a garden. We're going to have a little walking trail. I'm looking at this as a community campus, a place where the community can gather and continue to build relationships. Because ultimately, that's what changes a city.
Hayes moved to Manheim Park only 3.5 years ago. She inherited a house from her sister and wanted to turn it into a hospice to honor her sister's memory. Hayes says this is a typical urban core neighborhood with a lot of needs and a lot of potential.
I found a neighborhood that had high crime, a lot of debris and trash on the street. And so I decided that I would see what I could do to help encourage the neighbors to pick the trash up and to start paying attention to crime. And between 2010 and 2011, crime dropped here 26.7%. We were able to put some cleanup projects together. We were able to work very hard at removing debris and trash out of here, and that's been successful too.
Manheim Park has a lot of advantages: a prime midtown location, good housing stock, and involved residents. Across the street from the Bancroft School is a row of classic Kansas City shirtwaists. Most are carefully restored with well-kept yards, but the two at the end are boarded up and have bright orange foreclosure notices on the doors. Even here, Hayes says, revitalization is going to take a lot of work.
It's going to take an army of people. It's going to take generations of people to revitalize an urban core. This urban core has been disinvested for almost 50 years.
Manheim Park is one of 9 neighborhoods along Truce that are part of the Urban Neighborhood Initiative. As of January 1st, the new executive director of that nonprofit group is Diane Cleaver, a consultant in mental health and education, and of course the wife of former mayor and congressman Emmanuel Cleaver. Diane Cleaver joins us back in the studio to talk about how this big idea to revitalize these neighborhoods will become a reality. Welcome to Casey Currents.
Thank you so much for having me.
So when it comes to the Troost corridor, there's perception and there's reality, and that's part of what we're dealing with here. What do you think of when you think of this part of town?
Well, specifically along Troost, I think of small retail. I think of what it looked like when I was a girl, which was much more vibrant retail than is there now. And I also think of all the redevelopment that's going on now. I mean, you kind of begin to see it revitalized. Now, that's specifically along Troost. When you talk about the corridor that you and I is working in, you're talking about multiple neighborhoods, and you're talking about a lot of variation within those neighborhoods. So people may think of it in just one way, but it is really quite varied, like many other neighborhoods, in terms of the folks that live there and how the housing is kept up and, you know, renters or owners. So there's a lot of variety there. And I know that. I know that very well.
And I should mention that we're sitting in the area that we're talking about right now. KCUR studios are in a UMKC building here in the Urban Neighborhood Initiatives area.
Right. And so isn't it a great location here where you are?
Absolutely.
You're kind of the center of what's happening here in the city. So, see, that's a perfect example.
And what do you remember from the Troost area from growing up here.
I lived close to there, so we could walk up to the Truce and the retail shops. And one of my most vivid memories as a girl is going to the dime store there. I believe it was a Kresge's. My sister and I would walk up there, and we would do all our Christmas shopping. So, you know, we'd go with our $10, and then for everybody in the family, you know, what could you find? Some little, I'm sure it wasn't very good perfume for this person, or, you know, some other little gift candy for that person. But, you know, the bulk of our Christmas shopping at that age was right up there. Well, I think it was like 31st and Linwood. The other thing I remember, I was a little bit older, there used to be a JCPenney's there about where Operation Breakthrough is. And I had a summer job there once as a girl. It was kind of my neighborhood, and my memories of that are, you know, quite varied and quite good.
And how was this area chosen?
We undertook kind of a very deliberate process to be thoughtful and fair, if you will. We gathered a lot of data about the neighborhood, very specific, you know, housing, income, things going on in the neighborhoods. We started in a broader area, which was really from the river, I think, to about Gregory, and then Troost over to about 435, and then talk with neighborhood residents within that area. Then also with our data and from within that area, we invited residents to give us letters of interest to let us know which neighborhoods were interested in partnering with an organization such as you and I. We also looked at a very important determining factors were those that, of course, had a lot of needs, but also had, you know, things going on, had efforts underway. You know, we were looking for that point where we could make a critical difference, you know, just getting a little more there. Truce being the traditional racial dividing line in our city was very appealing. The idea of working in multiple neighborhoods was very appealing. So we gathered all that data and information, and that between the neighborhoods, the consultants, and the board, that's where we ended up.
And there are various efforts to improve neighborhoods going on right now. I wonder if there are some that you particularly come to mind.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's one of the most exciting things about this. And I think one of the most important things that we as a new organization, you and I, can convey is how much these neighborhoods have already done. Because that story doesn't often get told, you know, if there's a crime or, you know, if there's abandoned buildings in that area, that gets told, that makes the news. But all the wonderful things going on in the community, it doesn't. And these neighborhoods have really done a tremendous amount of work, made a lot of progress, had a lot of things going on. For example, most of the neighborhoods have a community garden program. There's been a lot of neighborhood cleanup. There's been a lot of blight cleanup. There's been a lot of engagement with the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department around cleaning up drug houses, with the city, around getting abandoned buildings addressed and clean up. These neighborhoods have been very active and proactive.
I wonder, when you have brought people together in the neighborhoods, what people have seen as their needs.
Well, we definitely brought people together in the neighborhoods for them to identify. And probably not surprising, their concerns tend to fall into three areas. I don't think which would surprise any of them, but one area which we call prosperity, and that would be around jobs, economic development, housing developments, just things that would increase the economic vitality of the community. Then secondly, around health and safety, and that's the health of the community and things that make the community safe, those things related to crime and blight. And then thirdly, education.
Now, this area intersects in large part with the what's been called the Green Impact Zone. That was a project envisioned by your husband and, of course, the former mayor, Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, to target stimulus funding in one area for infrastructure improvement, transportation, job training, and energy-efficient renovations. Why duplicate efforts in roughly the same area?
Well, we don't intend to duplicate effort. It was appealing because of the things that the Green Impact Zone is doing, just like the things that the neighborhood is doing. So you have something to build upon. You know, there's enough to be done for all of us to do the work, and there's certainly enough to be done that we should not be duplicating. So the things that the Green Impact Zone has done, is doing, have really been great work. As we convene the community partners, it's been the neighborhood organizations and the Green Impact Zone and Brush Creek Community Partners. So we're going to take advantage and work with what they have already done to further our goals.
And do you have a sense of what their challenges have been?
Well, I have talked with Anita Maltbia and their staff on a couple of occasions. So, yes, I think I have a good idea. In addition to the ongoing challenge that 501c3s have about raising funds, particularly operating funds, just to keep the staff going so you can do the work, that's a challenge for them as their core funding has decreased every year. You know, I think another challenge is you're trying to bring the neighborhood residents together with resources on the other side and convincing those resources or the holders of those resources that this can be a very successful investment is a challenge because, you know, over the years, it has not always been so. So it's kind of like everybody's waiting for somebody else to put their money in first, and we're going to see if this will really work before we put any other money in. Well, you know, somebody's got to get skin in the game first. So bringing those developers, other kinds of investors and resources to the table and convincing them with the work that the Green Impact Zone has done, with the work that you and I plans to do, yes, you can be successful. We're going to help provide that bridge. I know the Green Impact Zone, you know, describes themselves as a bridge between the neighborhood and the resources and to fill in the gap of what's needed to make that you know, effort work. And I see us doing something similar in partnership with Green Impact Zone and others.
How do you convince people that improving life in these few neighborhoods will benefit the entire metropolitan area?
We have said from the beginning, and it's very important to us, that this kind of be a beta site for us to make some help work with the neighborhoods to make some changes. But the whole idea is to be able to replicate it in other neighborhoods around the city by our finding out, you know, what's successful, what works, how to get it done. The idea is really to take it to other neighborhoods. So that's one thing. You know, the whole community will benefit from what we learn by doing along this Truce corridor. The other thing I would say is the outpouring of interest in assisting with this UNI effort has really been tremendous.
And these are neighborhoods which have had population decline over the years. And I know that there's some of the neighborhoods that could be sites for what is called gentrification. And I wonder how that sort of plays into what you think about improving neighborhoods, if whether you improve neighborhoods for the residents who live there or you improve them to the extent that new residents want to move in and maybe old residents are priced out.
Well, we want to do both. We don't want to move anyone out of the neighborhood that wasn't already planning to go. But the Green Impact Zone area has about 4,100 households, and they're around 1,000 vacant buildings or, you know, properties there. So we definitely feel we can do both. The median income in these neighborhoods is under $24,000, so much less than the city as a whole. We can, you know, help those who are there improve their housing stock, their neighborhoods, and we can bring in new folks to live in the area. So we don't have to move out anybody to bring in new folks. And that kind of mixed income community, I think, would be great. And it's what we're going for.
Diane Cleaver is the executive director of the new nonprofit organization, the Urban Neighborhood Initiative. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, a showdown between the State House, the courts, and the governor over education funding in Kansas. You're listening to Casey Currents.